Thanks for downloading the Wave Church podcast. We hope this message inspires and brings you into a deeper relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
If you don't know who I am, my name is Josh. I have the honor and privilege of being the Great Neck campus pastor here at Wave Church, and it is the first Sunday of the year. Normally we would hear from Pastor Steve, but at the beginning of every year, Pastor Steve and Sharon always take time to go away and pray for our church and pray for us and pray about the vision of what God wants to do this year and beyond. And I don't take this moment for granted, don't take it lightly to be able to communicate and have a conversation with all of our Wave Church family, but I want to just take a moment to honor our senior leaders and senior pastors. I have never been more thankful because of this last year of the leadership of Pastor Steve and Pastor Sharon, their integrity, their character, the way that they have led us as a church through this last year. Anybody here thankful here at Great Neck and all of our locations? Come on, anybody here thankful for Pastor Steve and Pastor Sharon? One of the things that I admire about Pastor Steve and Sharon is they do not shy away from the truth of the Word of God. And they teach it and they live it with truth and grace. And I think it's important that we understand today this word that I have is not my idea, it's not my truth, it's from the Word of God. And I've noticed more and more we live in a culture and a world where everybody wants their own truth. There's only one problem with that is humanity has showed us time and time and time again how dangerous it is when we want to live by our own truth. Can I get an amen? I don't have my own truth. My truth is the Word of God. The Word of God becomes my truth. And as we come around the Word of God today, I think it's important we understand when we read God's Word and when we communicate God's Word, we first have to look at what the author in the text is saying to the audience of who they are writing to and in the culture, the context of which they live. Then we can see how that applies to our life. And you will notice in God's Word, there are things that are very specific and very clear, non-negotiables, truths in the Word of God. And then there are areas in the Word of God that God almost leaves a gray area for us to use the wisdom, the discernment, the principles, patterns from His Word to make our decisions. For example, God's Word does not give clear direction on what football team you should cheer for. Like, it would be unbiblical, obviously, to say you should be a New York Jets fan. Can I get an amen? It's been a painful year. Pray for me. But there are, today's word, I believe, is one of those areas in God's word where there is no gray area. But God is very intentional and very specific about the truth of His plan for His people. Can I get an amen? So we're going to read some Bible, if that's okay, John 6. Y'all still with me? Now, here's the thing. Here at Great Neck and all of our locations, I'm going to say this because I'm assuming, before we read some Bible, I'm assuming there's some people in the room and you are like me. And what I mean by that is after the preacher reads like three verses of the text, it's hard for me to pay attention after that. Anybody like that? Nobody wants to be honest. Okay, it's just me. So I'm going to ask you to stay with me because it's very important that we understand the text in which we are reading from today. Is that okay? Come on, somebody. It's the first Sunday of the year. Can I get an amen? John 6. We're going to jump in. What has just taken place, to give us quick context, where we are jumping in is Jesus has been teaching His disciples, and it's not just His 12 disciples that maybe you and I are familiar with that we read so much of, the 12 disciples in the New Testament, but there are other disciples there. There's many disciples, some that are there because they are interested in Jesus, some because they were curious, some because it's just a cool fad to follow, some because they're not really there. They're actually against Jesus, but they're there because they want to be around the crowd. There are disciples, many people listening to Jesus, and Jesus is teaching, and He begins to say things that unsettle people. He begins to talk about how He is the Son of God, that in Him is eternal life. He begins to say some things that don't really make sense to these disciples, and this is where we're going to jump in, and they're offended. You ever been offended by the Word of God? Two people? John 6, we're going to jump in here, says this: many among His disciples heard this and said, "This is tough teaching. It's too tough to swallow." Jesus sensed that His disciples were having a hard time with this, and He said, "Does this throw you completely? What would happen if you saw the Son of Man ascending to where He came from? The Spirit can make life. Sheer muscle and willpower don't make anything happen. Every word I've spoken to you is a spirit word, and so it is life-making. But some of you are resisting, refusing to have any part in this. Jesus knew from the start that some weren't going to risk themselves with him. I'm thankful to be a part of a church where there are some people who we are willing to risk ourselves for the gospel. Can I get an amen? He knew also who would betray him. He went on to say, this is why I told you earlier that no one is capable of coming to me on his own. You get to me only as a gift from the Father. Now look at this verse, verse 66. If you're like me, you probably stopped paying attention. So I'm gonna jump back in right here because this is interesting to me. After the words of Jesus, look what it says in verse 66. After this, a lot of his disciples left. They no longer wanted to be associated with him. Can you imagine? They no longer wanted to be associated with him. Then Jesus gave the 12 their chance. Jesus looks at his 12 disciples, disciples that you and I may be familiar with, that we read so much about in the New Testament. He looks at them as so many are offended and walked away. And he looks at his 12 disciples and said, y'all want to leave too? You offended as well? He says, do you also want to leave? Verse 68, Peter replied, Master, to whom would we go? I love Peter's response. Where else are we going to go? You have the words of real life. Only you have the words of real life. Eternal life. We've already committed ourselves, confident that you are the Holy One of God. Verse 70, Jesus responded, haven't I handpicked you, the 12? And this is why I love Jesus. I love the Bible, why you need to read your Bible. Look what Jesus says. Still one of you is a devil. Can you imagine standing there? And Jesus calls out. He knows who it is. Doesn't say who it is, but he knows who it is. He was referring to Judas, son of Simon. This man, catch this. The Bible reveals to us something interesting. One from the 12 was even then getting ready to betray him. Judas was already in his heart and mind deciding to betray Jesus. Oh, the grace of God to allow Judas to remain in proximity with Jesus. Matthew 16, 18. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Y'all still with me? Seaboard, Norfolk, Richmond, Wilson, Greenville, online. Y'all still with me? Matthew 16, 18, it says this. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, specifically speaking to Peter. He says, and now I'm going to tell you who you are, who you really are. You are Peter, a rock. This is a rock on which I will put together my church, a church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. Another translation says, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I love Matthew 16, 18, because it is a moment where Jesus reveals to his disciples and he reveals to mankind, he reveals to his people his plan. Jesus changes the trajectory of the history of the future of his people. He reveals his plan. It is the church. Jesus shows us, I came to establish my church, to die for my church, to build my church. I'm coming back for my church, the church, which is the hope of the world. It is the church. Can I get an amen? It's the church, but it's not even what Jesus says that's interesting to me. It's where he says it. Jesus is in Caesarea Philippi. I've had the opportunity to see this up close and personal on one of our mission trips to Israel. If you've never been a part of it, I encourage you to plan on doing it in the future. In Caesarea Philippi, this is a place that is known for being a deep, dark, twisted place. It is messed up. Where Jesus is standing, there are temples around him where they worship gods of Baal and Pan, where there was prostitution and human sacrifice and animal sacrifice. It goes on and on. I don't need to go into more detail. You can only imagine. And around those temples, there is a cave that they considered, an entrance to a cave that they considered the entrance to hell, the gates of hell. This is where they would throw in animals and they would see if the blood would come back or not after they threw the animal in the entrance of this cave. And I love that Jesus didn't go to a local synagogue to declare this statement, oh, I will build my church. But Jesus went to the deepest, darkest place. He had the audacity and the authority to stand in front of the very entrance of the gates of hell and declare, on this rock, I will build my church. The church of the authority has over every demon and every devil. Can I get an amen? The Greek word that Jesus uses to say church in this moment, I love, because it shows us two things. The first thing it shows us, the word that Jesus uses for church, it speaks to assembling and gathering. Jesus shows us from the beginning of the establishing of his church how vital, how imperative. It is a non-negotiable that we gather and we meet together. God did not design us to live in isolation. We need each other. The other thing this word shows us is it speaks to a new society. a new way of doing things, a new lifestyle in which Jesus is leading. And I love the context of how Jesus says this, because he reminds us we're not just meant to be a little special Christian society that has a holy huddle on Sunday and we don't go out into the world. But Jesus says, you as the church leave the four walls and you find the deepest, darkest, baddest place, and you bring my light and you bring my gospel and you bring my good news. Can I get an amen? Jesus makes it abundantly clear, the church is the hope of the world. And I've said this before and I'll say it again, because I believe it with everything inside of me, that we are living in the greatest opportunity in the history of the church. You take one little glimpse into the history of the church and you will see the opportunity that you and I have, that we have been chosen for such a time as this. Living in the greatest opportunity to be alive as a human being, to be his church. And friend, make no mistake, in all of our locations, make no mistake that there is a war taking place. Jesus speaks to it. The gates of hell will not prevail against it, but it will try. And as long as the earth remains, there my church will be. This is why pastors will fail, Christians will fail, church ideas and concepts will fail, but his church will not fail. Can I get an amen? Amen. Come on, if you believe it, give God a hand this morning. If you are taking notes, I would encourage you to do so. If you like titles, the title of my message this morning is If I Were the Devil. If I Were the Devil. I'm sure there was some teachers in my middle school career that thought I was the devil, but that's neither here nor there. Can we pray? Jesus, we thank you for who you are. Holy Spirit of God, I thank you that you're here. Without your presence today would almost be a waste of time. But God, I thank you that you designed and orchestrated for every human heart to be in this room. Here at Great Neck and at Seaboard and Norfolk and Richmond and Wilson and Greenville and an online campus, everybody watching in their living rooms at home. God, you knew that we would be tuning in today. And I thank you, God, that you are so glad that we are here. That you have a plan and purpose for every human being in this room. God, I think at the end of today's service, we're gonna have the opportunity to respond, to surrender our lives to you. God, for me personally, I pray for your grace, your power, your authority, your anointing. Without it, I am nothing. And God, I just thank you that Alabama football is gonna win the national championship, and everybody said. Everybody said. In case you are unaware, because I know you care so much about what's going on in my life, and this last year, just to give you a Kelly family update, Brooke and I, we went into 2020 as an army of three, and we left 2020 as an army of four. And we had one chicken nugget, now we have two chicken nuggets. And there's a picture of our family. There's Liv, she's three. And there's Lachlan, we call him Locke. I think we have one more photo of little Locky, otherwise known as the Loch Ness Monster. There he is. And I am not here to share parenting advice, because I have absolutely none. But I am maybe here to share some parenting struggles. Can I do that, parents? Is that okay? Because here's the thing. Liv is at the age now where she's three, and so she's, you know, it's a whole different ball game, and we're, you know, trying to teach her to do what's right, to do what she's supposed to do. And, you know, I want to show her what's best for her, and we want her to be in the best environment for her. And here's the thing. It is no greater honor for me to be a dad. Like, this is the greatest adventure. I see my kids as weapons. I am raising weapons for the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. The Bible says the kids are like an arrow in the hands of a warrior. And Liv is a weapon, but right now she's a weapon of disobedience and stubbornness. So I need you to pray for me. Here's the other problem is Liv knows she's funny. Like, she's funny and she knows she's funny. So she knows she can just get me to laugh. We have to start the whole process over again, because I gotta leave the room and remind myself why I'm angry and mad, and then go back in and try to convince her that she's in trouble. But it's a moving, parents, I don't know if you can relate to this, it's a moving target. Like, before Christmas, we got this cereal, and we called it the Christmas cereal. She picked it out at the store and she was eating it every morning. Like, we got into a routine, like, where she would eat this Christmas cereal every morning. It was amazing. Like, it was almost, that 20 minute window was almost easy. And I remember, just 2 weeks, she just loved this Christmas cereal. I would bring it up to her, and she'd sit in a little chair, and, you know, she'd watch the Bible or Blippi. It's like kind of the same word, don't judge me. And I bring her this cereal, and then 2 weeks go by, and a couple of days before Christmas, I bring her the cereal, and she immediately just is disgusted. Said, "Dad, I don't want this Christmas cereal." So, "What do you mean? We bought 17 boxes. We need to eat all of this. You picked it. You love it. You've been eating this for 2 weeks straight." She says, "Dad, I don't want it anymore." I said, "Well, what do you want?" She said, "Dad, I want caviar." No, she didn't say that. "So what do you want?" She said, "Dad, I want popcorn with sprinkles." I can't even be mad. I respect the creativity. Now I want popcorn with sprinkles. So we have popcorn and sprinkles for breakfast. By the way, whoever created Elf on a Shelf, thank you. Because I've never had more power as a parent in my career of parenting. Sure, it's a little odd. Like, "Hey, Liv, we're going to tell Holly you're not misbehaving. She's going to go fly and tell Santa he's going to come back." Sure, it's creepy, but it works. Now I just need an elf for every month of the year. Parents, can I get an amen? I am trying to be a good dad, obviously, and trying to show Liv what is best and what is good for her, teach her to do what is right. If sometimes I feel like we have to trick her, use psychology, reverse psychology, double reverse psychology, whatever we have to do to help her understand how amazing she is, to do what is good, to do what is right, to help understand what is the best environment for her. And while this is the case, it is imperative and it is important as a church that we understand that there is an enemy and there is a culture, there is a world, there is a devil who will do everything he can to connive and to trick and to persuade and to convince you to do everything that will lead you to emptiness and brokenness, being unsatisfied. He's gonna do everything he can to keep you from what is best for you, to keep you from God's environment. And here's the thing, the devil knows what it is. Jesus was very clear in Matthew 16, 18, the best environment for his people, the plan, the will for his people is the church. So if I am the devil, and I know this, and while I know ultimately I cannot destroy the church, I'm gonna do everything I can to keep you from it because I got a much better chance of destroying you by yourself. If I'm the devil, I'm not concerned with individuals in isolation, but I am threatened by believers that are doing life together in community and family. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yeah, if you believe it, give God a hand. If I'm the devil, I know what I am good at. I am a good liar. I have been lying since the beginning of time. I lied to Eve. Had her question, did God really say? I've been lying and distorting and twisting the truth of the word of God since the beginning of time. So if I'm the devil, I know what the truth is. I know that God's word says the church is God's plan. I know that believers don't have a say in that. It's already God's plan. If I'm the devil, I also know that there is nothing in scripture that gives a hint of an excuse for a follower of Jesus to disassociate ourselves from his church. Doesn't give us an excuse to give up on the church. It's not there. He's checked, I've checked. It's not in the word. There's nothing in the word of God that says, "Hey, well, you know what? If you got offended, then give up on the church. Hey, you know what? If you didn't like the building or you didn't like the style or the singing wasn't the way you wanted it to, you know what? Just give up on the church. Do your own thing. Hey, if the church didn't respond in the exact perfect way that you thought it should in this pandemic and this virus, then give up on the church. It's not there. But if I'm the devil, I know that often Christians are looking for a reason to justify to do our own thing. And so if I'm the devil, maybe the greatest lie that I could convince you to believe is that I can love Jesus, but not his church. Maybe the most powerful, effective lie that I could cause you to believe is that I can love Jesus and not his church. Jesus, I need you, but I don't need your church. The Bible says that the church is the bride of Christ. It's as if you were to come to me and say, "Josh, you know what, man? You're kind of cool. Like, you're 5'9", you're a little short, but we can make this work. Let's be friends. I'd love to be your friend. Josh, let's be friends this year. Oh, but by the way, your wife, I don't like her." How many people know we got a problem? You don't even know, you don't need to worry about me. You do, but you don't. You don't need to worry about her father-in-law who's here in church today. He's 6'8" and jacked. You need to worry about Brooke, because she'll beat you up. I'll never forget a couple of years ago, 5 or 6 years ago at a summer camp. This has nothing to do with my message, but I think it's kind of funny, so I'm gonna share it. We're at a youth summer camp, and God willing, this summer, we're gonna have our summer camp for our middle schools and high schoolers. Can I get amen? We're at our summer camp, I think it was the first or second night. It was an amazing night, young people encountering the presence of God. And service was over and I was driving, it was about 20 minutes driving away with our guest speaker to go have dinner. And I get a call from one of our leaders, said, Josh, frantic, freaking out. Josh, we got a problem, man. So what's going on? So Josh, there's this girl, she's here, she's a high schooler, and she's demon-possessed. The demon is manifesting. It's crazy. I don't know. Josh, I don't know what to do. I said, hold on. Well, who's dealing with the situation? I said, well, Brooke is. I started to laugh. I said, Josh, this isn't funny. This is a serious situation. I said, you shouldn't be calling me. You should call the devil and let him know one of his demons is about to be converted back to Christianity. In fact, put me on speakerphone so I can wish the demon good luck because he doesn't have a chance. It's as if we go to Jesus. Jesus, I love you, but I don't like your bride. How often as Christians do we buy the lie that we can love Jesus and not his church? Jesus, I love your grace. I'm all about your grace for me, but your vehicle that you have chosen to carry and bring it to all of humanity, I don't really want anything to do with that. And I want to suggest to you that we buy this lie because of a second lie that the devil would love for you and I to believe this year is that the church should be perfect. The devil would love for you to think, to believe that the church should be perfect. Here's the truth. Jesus promised that his church would prevail, not that she would be perfect. Can I get an amen? I have some more parenting stories because I can tell you guys care so much. Seaboard, Norfolk, Richmond, Wilson, Greenville, online. Hope you're still with me. Great Neck, you still with me? I am come to the conclusion that, and there's nothing I can really do about it, I am just not really good at building things. It's not really in the Kelly household. Like, we can maybe build the church, but nothing else. And Liv's at the age now where the toys that she's getting are a little more complicated and complex. And you know, here's what I've learned is when we go to the store and Liv brings me a toy, this is what I look at first. The first thing I look at is not the price. I look at that second, because there's one thing that could disqualify you. It doesn't matter how cheap it is if it says assembly required. Parents kind of get an amen. And by the way, to all the young parents, if it says some assembly required, it's a lie. You need a NASA engineer to get that sucker done. And here, it's not even so much that I'm just so bad at it. It's because... Here's what's frustrating, and don't judge me, is because in building the toy, Liv has to be involved. She has to be a part of the process. And so I remember this last year, I forget what she did. She did something we're proud of her, and I told her, I said, we're going to go to the store, and you can pick whatever toy you want. We're going to get it, and we're going to go home, and we're going to play with it. It's going to be amazing. So we went to Target, she picked the toy, and I think we have a photo of what she picked. It's demonic. I think it's another form of Ouija board. I haven't proven it yet, but. So I'm like, okay, sweetie, I'm regretting this, but yes, we're gonna take this home. I promise you whatever. So when we go home and I showed Brooke, she's like, oh, that's great. You're such a good father, and you go do that. And we open the box and I pour the pieces out. Liv's so excited. And I'm looking for the instructions. There's no instructions. So I look inside the box. Maybe it's taped inside the box. It's annoying how they do that. So maybe it's inside the box. It's not. I went back to work and said, babe, we got a problem. I got to go back to Target now. They forgot the instructions. She said, Josh, like, everybody kind of knows, like, with this toy, like, you just kind of create what you want. I said, does this look like a creative space to you? I didn't go to school for engineering. I went to school to finish. So what am I supposed to do? She said, why don't you just copy what's on the box? I said, you know what? That's a good idea. Liv, Let's do this. Let's build this. And the building process began. And because she has to be involved, she's right there. And she wants to touch the pieces. And as I put it together, she wants to take it off. And at one point, she turned the box upside down. So I was building it backwards for 35 minutes. I didn't realize I was. And my patience is dwindling. It said, Liv, don't stop touching that piece. And Liv starts crying. And I start crying. And Liv's in trouble. And I'm in trouble. We almost get done. And she's so excited to put the marble at the top. I said, Liv, we have to wait. It's not finished yet. And if we knock this over, it's going to crash into pieces. And I don't know if I have it in me, sweetie, to do this all again. So we're almost done, and she just can't help herself. She goes to put the marble on the top, and it falls over, and it breaks into pieces. And I realized something. I realized something in this moment. And I told Liv. I said, sweetie, You realize you don't have to be here, right? Like, you don't have to be a part of this building process. Like, I'm allowing you to be here. I'm allowing you to hold the pieces. I'm allowing you to put the marble in the top. I could send you to timeout and I could build this all by myself and play with the marbles all by myself. But I think sometimes we forget that Jesus is building his church, and by his grace, he allows us to be a part of the building process. By his grace, he allows us to hold the pieces. By his grace, he allows us to be the pieces. And church, catch this in all of our locations. By his grace, he allows us to get it wrong. I think sometimes we get so disillusioned and frustrated and disappointed with the churches because we keep looking for a perfect one. But friends, if the church was perfect, we would be excluded. It's because of his grace that we get to be a part of this building process, that we get to be his church. Maybe we're not frustrated with the church. Maybe we're just frustrated with the grace of God. Can I get an amen? Before we finish, y'all still with me? Before we finish, we're almost done. Something I've come to realize is that while Jesus is building his church, the devil is also building something. It is not a church, it's a choir. While Jesus is building his church, I've come to realize that the devil is building his own choir. I like to call it the grumbling choir. And this choir is different. And before I even get into this, you need to know, I have sung in this choir more times than I am proud to admit. But this choir is different than most choirs you may be used to, because I'm sure you've realized, like our choir at church and all of our locations, you have to audition to sing on stage. Thank God. Can I get anybody thankful for our musicians and singers? They're so gifted. You have to audition, but the devil's choir, there are no auditions, and he welcomes everybody as long as you sing in the key of G, the key of grumbling. Looking for anybody, do you sing in the key of bitterness? Do you sing in the key of unforgiveness? Do you sing in the key of discord, of dishonor, of gossip? If so, come and sing in my choir. And how often are we singing in this choir not realizing that the devil is conducting himself? Could it be, church, that when we slander and when we criticize and when we throw mud on the bride of Christ, that we are joining the enemy's plan? That we join his choir. Before we finish, I want to just show us, there's a moment in scripture, we read it already. Where there are disciples of Jesus and they hear his words, and some walk away grumbling and join that choir, and some don't. We read it earlier, I'm gonna read it again. John 6, many among his disciples heard this and said, this is too tough teaching, too tough to swallow. After this, a lot of his disciples left. They walked away grumbling. They no longer wanted to be associated with him. Then Jesus gave the 12 their chance. You guys want to join that choir too? Do you also want to leave? Peter replied, Master, to whom would we go? You have the words of real life, eternal life. We've already committed ourselves, confident that you are the Holy One of God. And here in this moment in scripture, while there are disciples, many, who walk away in their offense, walk away grumbling, we see that there are those disciples who are not swayed by their offense, who are not swayed by others walking away grumbling, who are not swayed by a truth that they can't really comprehend quite yet. They are not swayed by the words of Jesus that are maybe colliding with their current worldview. I love their response. Jesus, where else are we gonna go? We believe you have the words of eternal life. I am the one with the sin problem. I have tried to fix this problem on my own, and I am incapable of doing so. Jesus, I need you. I need your words. And I love Peter's response. I love Peter's response. Peter says, Jesus, do you think I'm that easily swayed? I am not swayed by their grumbling.
And Jesus, if I'm being honest, following you and listening to you, at times it's been inconvenient, and it's been tough, and it's been hard. And Jesus, if I'm being really honest, there are words that you have spoken that have offended me. But Jesus, I've come to realize if your words offend me, it is not you, but it is that me that needs to change. I love Peter. Jesus, where else am I going to go? I believe you are the Son of God. I've committed my life to this. And if your words offend me, unsettle me, challenge me, it just means it is me that needs to change. I guess my question for us today, I guess what I'm trying to say is, how easily swayed are we? Think about that. How easily swayed are we? How movable are we? I love Joshua in the Old Testament. He brings the tribes of Israel together. He's sick and tired of them not making up their mind, going back and forth, so easily swayed by the world and culture. And he brings them together and he just simply tells them, he lets them know, hey, today you're gonna decide. You're gonna make a decision who you're gonna serve. And by the way, regardless of what you decide, as for me and my house, we are gonna serve the Lord. Whether it suits me or not, we've made up our mind, we're gonna serve the Lord. And for too long, the church has made the enemy's job way too easy. Because we've been so easily swayed by culture and the world and by feelings and emotions and trying to find our own truth, whatever it may be. But may we be a church, may we be a generation, may we be a people that our relationship with Jesus and our commitment to the church is only swayed by the truth of the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit of God. Devil, you cannot get me to join your choir. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can I get one good amen? Made up my mind. So I thought about this question as we close. The band can come on up. I thought about this question. So why the church? I thought about it a lot this year, or this last year. Why the church? Why the church? Friends, because I believe it is our God's redemptive plan, where he created us to be. It's what he created us to be. Friends, where else can we go? And by his outrageous grace, he chooses you and I to be a part of it, to be his church, to represent him. Jesus, our Savior, died for his church, established his church, is building his church. Friends, where else can we go? And if this is the case, may we decide that every word spoken to criticize or slander towards his church is but wasted breath, because Jesus is building it regardless. May we instead use our breath to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And may we shift, may we turn from what can we receive from his house to what else can I give and what else can I bring? Friends, where else can we go? When it doesn't suit me, I am not swayed. When I am offended, I am not swayed. When I face persecution, I am not swayed. When it costs me, I am not swayed. May we be a people that are only swayed by God's holy word, by his Spirit. And if my God instructs me to move, then I will move. But until then, may we gain a heaven perspective of what really matters and continue to be his hands and feet. Church, may we love even when it hurts. May we give even when it costs everything. May we forgive even when they don't deserve it. May we live by conviction even when it is unpopular. May we be light when it gets darker. May we be his church. Why the church? Why the church? Because without it, the world has no hope. Why the church? Because eternity matters. Why the church? Because we have been chosen and called for such a time as this. Why the church? Because that's where there is healing. That's where there is wholeness, where there is worship, where there is community, where there is family, where there is reconciliation, where there is hope, where there is faith, where all are welcome and all are welcome to be transformed. Friends, at the end of the day, it is his church. I'm gonna read this verse and then we're gonna pray. I'm gonna hand back to all of our campus pastors. And they're gonna ask you the most important question anybody could ever ask. But I love this verse. I'm gonna ask all of us to lean in and catch this, because I love what Ephesians 2 says. I think it gives great perspective of our conversation today. Y'all still with me? That's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here. Anybody thankful that you belong here? Watch this. With as much right to the name Christian as anyone, God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here and what he is building. He used the apostles and prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds it all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. Church, I have made up my mind. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. I have made up my mind. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. I've made up my mind. If I'm going to struggle, it's going to be in God's house where I can find strength. I've made up my mind. If I'm going to be offended, it will be in his house where I can find forgiveness. I've made up my mind. If I'm going to sin, it will be while I'm a part of his house where I can find redemption and restoration. If I'm going to be alone, it's going to be in his house where I can find family. If I'm going to be confused, it's going to be in his church where I can find truth and clarity. If I'm going to be all that God has called me to be, it's because I have planted me and my family in his house. If I am blessed, it is because I am seeking first the kingdom of heaven. I am planted in his house. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We are not swayed by anything other than the truth of the word of God. And so I wonder, before we close, I wonder, church, here in all of our locations, I wonder, what gift have you been withholding from God's plan? If God's plan is the church, what gift have you been withholding? Here's the truth. Is everybody under the sound of my voice, God has gifted you. He's gifted you. And I wonder, what gift that God has given you have you been withholding from his church? Say, Josh, what do you mean? Well, if you can smile, are you greeting at the door? If you can hold a door, are you holding a door? If you knew what it was to walk into church alone and feel like you don't have any friends and then you found family, are you walking around the lobby finding people that are alone? If you have been gifted in business, are you resourcing the kingdom of God? If you love to teach, are you teaching in Wave Kids? If your arm can move, are you directing traffic in the parking lot? If you can build and fix and repair like I can't, are you fixing and driving the golf carts? If you can lead, are you leading a community group? And here's the thing, you may be sitting here today saying, Josh, I don't know what my gift is. Well, I would suggest to you and everybody here that maybe the greatest gift you can give this year is the gift of friendship. We are getting ready to step into our next semester of our community groups, our small groups, our Bible studies. That is how as a church, we are not just a crowd on Sunday, but we are a group and a family of people that are doing life together. It's through our community groups. And I wonder, in this next CG semester, could you give somebody the gift of your friendship? Say, Josh, I don't have any friends. Join a CG and be somebody's friend. I can assure you there are people sitting in this auditorium in all of our locations and watching online who right now feel alone, who could use a friend. Church, I wonder, could you give the gift of friendship? Could you open your life to somebody? Be somebody's friend. Can I get an amen? We're going to pray, and then I'm going to hand back to our campus pastors. If you would, with every head bowed, every eye closed, maybe just, if you're comfortable, reach your hands out towards heaven. I believe the Holy Spirit of God is going to move in this place, here and at every campus. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're here. We thank you for your church. We thank you for your resurrection power. I thank you for Wave Church that we get to call home. What a church we get to be a part of. God, I pray for everybody that can hear my voice. Holy Spirit, that right now you would speak to them. God, that you would even awaken gifts that you've given us. God, that we would make the decision to give the gift of friendship. God, whatever it may be. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are speaking to your people right here and right now. And everybody said, amen. If you received the word today, why don't you give God a hand, a shout of praise. I'm gonna hand back to all of our campus pastors right now. They're gonna ask you the most important question anyone could ever ask you, and I'd love to ask you that question today. Before we close and before Pastor Rachel comes, she's a couple of things that she's gonna share that are vital to who we are as a church. But before Pastor Rachel does that, I need to ask you, do you know Jesus? Do you know what it is to surrender your life to him? I'm not asking, do you believe in God? We talked about the devil today. The devil believes in God. Have you given your life to Jesus? Do you know what it is to be forgiven of your sins? Do you know what it is to turn away from the life that you used to live, to repent and live in the will and the freedom that God has for your life? Do you know the plan and the purpose that he has for your life? Do you know what it is to be forgiven of your sins? Friend, I got good news. The power of this gospel is that if you don't, right here and right now, I'm gonna count to three. In a moment, when I do, I'm gonna ask you to raise your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it, to include you in a prayer. And the beauty of this gospel, friend, is that you don't need to get yourself together. If you could, we would have done it by now. But the power of this gospel is that Jesus loves you right where you are. He also loves you too much to leave you there. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in this place, I'm gonna ask, I know our online campus is still with us, our Greenville campus is still with us. Already online, three people have made decisions to follow Jesus. Amen. I believe there's more. But if you're here today, say, Josh, that's me. I'm done trying to do this life on my own. I'm gonna give my life to Jesus. When I count to three, I'm just gonna ask you to lift your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it. I'm gonna include you in a prayer. I'm not gonna call you out. Once I've seen it, you can put it right back down. Say, Josh, that's me. Come on, if you're a Christian in this place, let's begin to pray. Come on, church, stir your faith. Lift your faith. Let's begin to pray. Eternity is in the balance. And online in our Greenville campus, one, if that's you today, say, Josh, that's me. I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to surrender my life to him. I want to leave this place knowing that I am a Christian, that I have a relationship with my Savior, that my eternity is in heaven. Two, if you're here today and if you're being honest with yourself, there's already a hand right there. Amen. If you're being honest with yourself, another hand right there. You have walked away. If you are here today, there's another hand right there. You have walked away. You're backslidden. Friend, I've got good news. God is not angry. God is not mad. God, our God is the God of as many chances as you and I need. He's sitting here smiling, saying, welcome home again. Another hand there. Three, another hand there. You should lift your hand high enough and long enough for me to see. Another hand there. Anybody else? Another hand there. I see you, sir. Another hand there. Another hand there. Anybody else? I see you back there. Awesome. Anybody else? Say, Josh, that's me. I need to give my life to Jesus. Friend, I'm not inviting you to religion. I'm inviting you to surrender your life to Jesus. Once I've seen it, you can put it back down. Anybody else? Anybody else? Say, Josh, that's me. Amen. Five people online made decisions. Church, can we lift our eyes together? Can we start 2021 by giving the loudest shout of praise we've given all service? Come on, church, more than a clap. Can we praise God for his redemptive power, his redemptive grace, the reason he came, the reason he died, the reason he rose from the grave? Come on, church, we can do a little bit better than that. Can we give the loudest shout of praise? Can we start this year? Can we start this year of 2021 giving him our best praise, celebrating, celebrating, celebrating? Amen. Celebrating every person who made that decision. We're gonna say a simple prayer, a prayer that changes everything. It may not change everything out there, but it changes everything in here where it matters. You walk out of this place with a grace from God to walk through whatever you are facing. Why don't we say this prayer together and online in our Greenville campus, everybody here at Great Neck, let's say this prayer together. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me, forgiving me of my sins, raising from the dead, giving me a hope and a future. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth that I'm a Christian. Everybody said, amen. One more time, let's celebrate every single person.
Thanks for listening to the Wave Church Podcast. If you made a decision today to follow Jesus, please go to wavechurch.com and click on I Made a Decision so we can help you on your way to know God in a deeper way. And if you want to visit one of our locations, the website can help you locate the campus near you, or you can live stream our services. Have a great day.